No taxation without representation. 200 years of exploitation in the capital of this nation. No representation in the capital of this nation. 200 years of exploitation. Give the people their right to vote. Someone asked me, was it true? The voting rights of the district were long overdue.
That was Sweet Honey in the Rock with Give the People Their Right to Vote. Hello and welcome to Shadow Politics, an hour-long grassroots talk show which will attempt to shine a light on the issues that you care about. I'm your host, United States Senator Michael D. Brown, coming to you live from the District of Columbia, America's last colony. Along with my co-host Maria Sanchez, we hope our show will start a dialogue with America about the issues that are important to you and affect the lives of all of us. So join in the discussion by calling in at 888-627-6008, or you can Skype us at BBS Radio 1. That's BBSRADIOONE. Today we have a very interesting guest, Karen Schoen. Karen has a BA in education and an MA in liberal studies. She was the co-host of American Freedom Watch Radio and is a founder of AgEnders, Americans Ending Agenda 21. Please call in and be part of the conversation with your comments and questions. Again, the number is 888-627-6008, or you can Skype us. Before I go any further, let me introduce my co-host, Maria Sanchez. Hi, Maria. I hope you're warm and comfy out there in California because we're freezing out here and we're all stuck in the snow.
Michael, as I sip on my cup of tea and look outside at the warm, balmy blue skies, I can't help but think about you all week long with the advance notice, because some of our city council members are in D.C. for some of city meetings there, and they were worried about it. And then this hits just like they said it would, and I can't believe they had to revise it from 18 inches up to the actual 26 that fell in certain places. Are you in the igloos, or are you in parkas, or how are you surviving?
We got approximately 30 inches, and my brother-in-law, who lives just west of us in Loudoun County, Virginia, Haymarket, they got 36 inches.
My goodness.
Yeah, and we're just, you know, they plowed the streets, but it's ridiculous because nobody can get out of their driveway, so it really doesn't matter. But, this is highly unusual for D.C., and it's funny. You're right. They were so accurate that it's almost scary. But, you know, they whipped us all up into a frenzy with a week of this stuff on the media. So by Thursday, you couldn't get milk. You couldn't, you know, if you went into a store. I went to Costco one day. You know, it's one of these big box stores, and I'd never seen it like that. There weren't any shopping carts. I mean, it was just amazing. So, but all's well that ends well. Everybody kept their power, knock on wood, and all it was a little bit of shoveling.
But Michael, I would imagine that everything must halt because people can't get to where they're supposed to. Schools, I'm sure, must be closed.
Everything's halted. Schools have already been closed through Tuesday.
Okay.
Because that
makes practical sense.
Yeah, and everything's at a halt. I mean, everything's at a halt.
We should count out 9 more months from now and see how many babies are born.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're saying, you know.
Are they? I was just thinking that myself. It's like you've got forced captivity.
They're saying it on the news because, you know, there was the thing in New York with the blackout.
Yes.
And how, you know, there were. Yeah, so they're saying that, but it's amazing. Well, No more babies for the Browns because we couldn't get any of those terrible children out there shoveling the snow. So we're putting them, the one we've got left who's not in college or on her own, we're putting her up for adoption. Anybody interested, call, please.
Yeah.
Anyway, before we introduce our guest, before we get Karen on, let me just run over real quick what's going on in D.C. We have no new co-sponsors this week in the statehood bill because nobody can get to the Capitol anyway. But however... Right. There was an intrusion into our local affairs by presidential candidate Ted Cruz, and this is not unusual in D.C., but he has introduced legislation to give all D.C. School children the option to receive vouchers to go to private school. Delegate Norton called his plan private school vouchers on steroids, and actually it's an attack on D.C. home rule, and we want to say to this good senator, worry about the students of Texas, senator, and leave the kids of Washington, D.C. to us.
Hey, Michael, why is it that people are taking offense?
Well, because he's interfering in our school system. In other
right,
words,
that I understand.
Eleanor Holmes Norton couldn't come to California and offer all the kids in California school vouchers. And that's why we're taking offense. It's really not about the vouchers per se. There are people in the district that believe in school vouchers, of course, and people that don't believe in them. So that's really not the issue for us. The issue is we ought to have a right to run the D.C. school system, and senators from Texas ought to be worried about school children in Texas.
I see. So he's just putting his nose where it doesn't belong.
Reason. This happens all the time to us, Maria, because you get national attention when you do stuff here. You know, if you change a gun law in Texas, it becomes a big issue in Texas. But if you try to change one in the district, it becomes national news. So that's another thing. We think it's kind of political grandstanding, which just annoys us.
And so, Michael, there, as you know, we acquire new listeners every week, and not everyone might be aware of what it is that you're championing for. And maybe you should just give a brief little overview Karen.
Yeah, thanks, Maria. Just briefly, if you don't know America, the District of Columbia has no voting representation in Congress. And furthermore, residents of the D.C. are subjected to complete congressional rule. So Congress has a right to make our laws. Congress has a right to tell us what to do with our own tax dollars. And Congress basically runs the city. Now, we have home rule. We have a mayor and 13 city councilmen. But every time we pass a law, it has to sit on Capitol Hill for congressional approval. Our budget goes to Congress. The President of the United States signs two budgets. He signs the national budget and the federal budget, and he signs the District of Columbia budget. So basically, we're treated as an agency of the federal government, and that kind of violates the liberty and justice for all provision of the Pledge of Allegiance, I think, among other things. So that's what we're fighting for. We're fighting to become a state so that we're equal to all other Americans. And that's why we're upset with Senator Cruz.
And do you and Puerto Rico share some sympathies with one another?
Oh, absolutely. And Puerto Rico has moved lately for the first time to become a state. They've had several votes on it, and they've never voted for it until just recently. In the last plebiscite they had, they voted in favor of becoming a state. So, yes, we share a lot of sympathy with Puerto Rico. Of course, the one thing we don't share with Puerto Rico is federal taxes. We're the only people in America that pay federal taxes and don't have any representation. In fact, we pay the highest per capita taxes in America.
Thus, the theme song. Because folks should know that Senator Brown has had this program prior to my joining him, and it was mostly about that issue. Now we've kind of branched out a little bit, which is why I wanted you to bring people up to speed, because some folks are finding us just through some of the topics that we've had and the guests that we have had, just like today with Karen Schoen visiting with us. So thank you for letting everybody know what Shadow Politics was all about and is still all about.
Well, and we're going to introduce Karen now, and I think Karen would probably agree, I won't put words in her mouth, but I think she would agree that a lot of this stuff is related. So a lot of the stuff that we talk about on the show is really part of our problem. You know, the way we act on lots of different issues impact the district as well as the rest of America. So we want to say, yeah, this is an issue about democracy, and there are many issues about democracy that are out there. In fact, our guest Karen is interested in several of them. So let's get her on. Karen, are you out there?
Yes, I am, and thank you so much for having me on this evening. It's a pleasure.
Well,
Karen,
it's...
you are absolutely correct. Everything is connected.
And Karen's going to speak with us.
There isn't anything that we're doing that's not connected.
Right. Yeah. Karen's going to speak with us primarily about the UN Agenda 21 and what that's all about, and then her activism in a reaction to it. So can you give us an overview, Karen, please?
Well, I will be happy to do that and to bring everybody up to speed. The whole program and what we are facing today can be summed up in three words. And these three words are the driving force behind everything that's going on. The three words are money, power, and control. And it doesn't matter what the industry, what the agency, what the cause, what the issue, those three words hold true for everything. As a result of that, when you begin to look at things more objectively than being involved in an issue, and you take a step back and you say, okay, who's behind it? Why are they doing it? What's their motivation? And what happens to the money? Then you begin to realize that for the last, I would say, about 100 years, we the people have been lied to on a regular basis. And the sad part is, as most people don't realize, it's all part of the same program and it's part of the same plan. And the focal center is the United Nations. And that's where the one world government, new world order folks are basically housed. And if you take a look at the demographics of the United Nations, these are the people that want a one world government, one religion, and one economy. And they expect to rule the world under those terms. All of the information that I'm giving you can be found on my website, and I'm going to ask everybody to write that down, because if I don't want to spend the time to say go here and you'll find this. It all can be found on agenda21today.com, americaismyname.org, and karenshone.com. So all of what I'm saying is backed up with all the source material, with all of the documentation, everything is there. Okay.
Well, certainly I agree with your assessment that it's all about money and power and control. That's what politics is.
It's not.
One of our favorite sons, Frederick Douglass, said that when he said that power can seize nothing without a demand. It never will, and it never has, and it never will. And that's part of our problem in the district, is we don't make the demand. And that's what we're trying to do. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Throughout the years, in my evolution to where I have become an activist, what I believe in is truth, education, conversation, and action. Problem is that most of us no longer know what the truth is. And by having lies on a continual basis replicated over and over again, we learn that if you repeat a lie often enough, people believe it and they think it's true. In any event, let's evolve up to current. All of these plans have been in place for years and years and years under different names. But in 1992, George Bush, 41, signed an agreement in Rio de Janeiro that 192 other nations also signed an agreement without reading it. Why do I know that they didn't read it? Because it wasn't written. They signed on to a concept. And what this concept was called Agenda 21, the United Nations Agenda for the 21st Century, whereby they laid out how they intend the world to evolve and the control mechanisms that they will put in place so that everything is as they see it in an outcome-based society. And what that means is they know the outcome in advance.
But so, they use such benign words as sustainable development.
Yes. Well, that's, and if you go and you look at Bill Clinton, let me just give you the little bit of evolution first. George Bush signed it. What it was a mirror of the Rockefeller unfinished agenda, whereby they discovered that if they focus on the environment and claim that the humans are destroying the planet, that the people will put restrictions upon themselves and they won't have to do it. So think about that.
They who? The UN?
The United Nations. Now, this is, I call them a regime, and they control both political parties, meaning there are globalists in each party. When you listen to them, you can hear the key words that they're saying. You can understand what they are talking about because they use certain key words, and that comes from Bill Clinton. Now, in 1992, George Bush brought this treaty back called Agenda 21, and it was a treaty, and in the way treaties are treated, it had to go to the Senate. Dr. Michael Kaufman got a look at this treaty and said, what am I really finding out here? What will America look like when this is implemented? And he was horrified to find that Americans will be forced to live in coastal communities, highly controlled areas, and the whole center of America would be vacant. He sent this, he and his team of four, and that's, I tell this story because this is one man, and this is the power of one, and that's what makes up American individualism. The power of one individual can do something. Well, Dr. Kaufman got together his friends, and he showed them what America would look like, and as a result of him learning what America would look like, he and his friends faxed, and there was no, there were fax machines at that time. Nobody emailed. They sent so many faxes to the Senate saying, do not sign this treaty, do not sign this treaty. They intend to destroy, you know, America. And he had the map there, which they showed, and Dr. Kaufman got a call, please tell everybody we are not going to sign the treaty, and the treaty was never signed. Well, in walks Bill Clinton, and people think that, they never worked together. Well, Bill Clinton took a look at this, and he said, oh, well, the American people won't take it by having it as a treaty, so I'll make it into an executive order. An executive order 12582 was born, and that was called the President's Council on Sustainability. Bill Clinton was working with a gentleman by the name of G. Gary Lawrence, who was, I believe, a communications expert or a marketeer, and he said to Bill, if you call this UN Agenda 21, the people will get ballistic. So we'll call it something else, like sustainable development and smart growth and all of those charming, nice, fuzzy words we will use to describe this so the people will not know what is going on. And this they didn't.
Well, you know, the only thing I have to say, Karen, is that Agenda 21, people should understand that it's a non-binding voluntary agreement. It's an action plan. It was never, there was never a requirement that the Senate sign off on it. Because
no, it was a treaty that required money because there was funding for all of these programs that were required. So it was the biodiversity treaty that was presented to the Senate, and that was what did not get signed. Now, Bill Clinton put together the President's Council, and Agenda 21 is a plan which controls every aspect of human activity on the planet. It is their goal to control the output, the product, the delivery system, and the consumption. And when you read Agenda 21, you discover that the globalists want open borders, the world to be controlled by the United Nations, and their declaration of human rights, not our Bill of Rights, and that everything is based on social justice and fairness, and no individual should own any property, because if you own an acre and I own 10 acres, that's not fair, so the government should own everything.
That's well, I noticed on your web... I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, as I say, that is the actual plan itself. Everything else is how do they implement it. And what we are seeing in America today is the implementation of this plan. They must control the health care because they believe that when you reach a certain age, you outlive your usefulness, and therefore are expendable, i.e., I guess it was Sarah Palin who was talking about the death panels in Obamacare. They have very strict rules and regulations for people who are disabled. And when it comes to giving out supplies, et cetera, the disabled and the elderly and the infants are on the bottom of the heap, because everything that they focus on is the person's productivity and how well they must be in order to have the appropriate output for the state. The human capital, which is what they call us, has to produce. And that's why in 1989, Shirley McCune, from the McReel Foundation, M-C-R-E-L Foundation, under President George Bush 41, and at that time Governor Bill Clinton, who was the president of the Governor's Council, had Shirley come in, and at this time Shirley said to the governors, "We will be changing the face of education. Education is no longer for factual information. The human capital are to be trained in a trade so that they will be able to work for the community."
Well, you know, as much as I agree that
individualism was going to be replaced by collectivism, and how it was the purpose of school to train for work. And that's where we get the school to work and workforce training and all of those programs.
Right, I get it. And I'm not a big fan of the Common Core. But on your website, I read that you talk about this being one of the motivating factors for this being redistribution of wealth. But yes, in the past 24 years, since it's been passed in America, the only redistribution of wealth has been from poor people to rich people. There's a
exactly.
bigger gap now. There's a bigger gap now between the rich and poor in America than there's ever been. So if there's any redistribution of wealth going on, it's not from rich people to poor people. It's actually from poor people to rich people. So
exactly.
how do you see this manifesting itself?
I'm sorry?
How do you see this manifesting itself in our society?
That was the goal. The goal is not for the poor people to get more. The goal is for the poor people to become poorer so that they can work at the behest of the rich people. Because the poor people are expendable because the earth is overpopulated. They say this continually. And human life is expendable. In America is the last bastion of anything because of several things. One, of course, being our Constitution, which is no longer taught in school. The second is being America as a landmass, which is one of the wealthiest landmasses in the world. We have more natural resources. We can be self-sustaining, which is what we should be. We have everything to sustain us without being dependent on anybody else. And that's why America is so important, in addition to the fact that the takeover of America and its resources will just add to their wealth, which is what they are looking for. Now,
but you know what,
said,
Karen,
imagine the weather that you have right now. On my website,
Karen,
I also say that everything is connected. Nothing happens at random. Everything is based on a plan, and that plan is based on lies. So everything that we are following today is rooted in lies. And unfortunately, people don't realize that two lies do not make one truth. That if it's a lie and it's based on a lie, it stays a lie. So what we are faced with,
Karen,
today,
one moment, please. What you've spoken about appears to be your opinion, because what is in writing, which Michael and I did some research about it, says different things than what you're promoting here, including you said that folks weren't valuable unless they were procreating, basically, and yet one of their goals is to achieve a more sustainable population, which you don't get through wanton procreation. Another one of their goals is to strengthen the roles of children and the young and women and NGOs, which is counter to what you've just been saying. So what you're saying and what's in writing is also different.
You have to go and look at the words of the authors, because they tell you what they mean, and the ends justify the means, so they don't tell you the truth. If you listen to Bill Gates, for example, what does he talk about? He talks about how there are too many people on the planet, how we must give vaccines, how he has to control food, how he has to do this, how he has to do... This is what I'm talking about. You have to go and look at the people who wrote these things. Because what they say there is not what they mean. What they say there is, you're going to do this because I'm going to tell you that it's going to make you do that. For example, in there they say that we are running out of water. And that's one of the reasons why they have to restrict water. No, we're not running out of water. The planet is 75% made up of water. We are running out of groundwater, but there's plenty of water beneath the surface. And there are other things that they say in order for the human to want to naturally restrict themselves. Go and take a look at, I was watching one of the shows today, and what are they pushing? These tiny houses that people can buy for $45,000 to $80,000. Think about that. $45,000 to $80,000 for 150 square foot house.
Well, yeah, you're talking to somebody that lives in Washington, D.C., and somebody that lives in Southern California. So we understand the ridiculousness of real estate these days. But let me ask you, when you talk about being honest, one of the things I see on your website is that you don't believe in man-made global warming. Is that true, that you don't believe that we've played a role in the global warming that's now going on? I mean, the last 14 of the last 15 years have been the hottest on record, and scientists pretty much agree that the burning of fossil fuels has had a lot to do with this. Are you saying that this isn't the case?
I'm saying that this is absolutely not the case. I was a science teacher. It's not true.
Well, I mean, you've got the top scientists in the world saying it is true.
Has created pollution, which is not the same as changing the weather. Carbon dioxide consists of 0.0375% of the atmosphere. How can something that with that minuscule amount have an effect on anything? The people that have reported all about global warming, please go and look them up. They are paid to report that way. Most often, the reports that they give eliminate something very important called evaporation and clouds. The information that I have, I work with scientists from all over the country. The website is called, one of the massive websites is called spaceandscience.net. Yes, weather changes. It changes constantly. But man does not have anything to do with it, nor does carbon dioxide, which is needed for plant life, which if we don't have plant life, we won't have food and therefore will depopulate the planet.
Well, let's talk for a second about the whole environmental thing. Now that we're on the subject, it seems to me that arguably one of the smartest people on the planet, Stephen Hawking, said the other day that it's unlikely that, or it's very likely that man will not be able to make it for the next 100 years, based on one, the threat of pandemics, and also what we're doing to the environment. You think that the environment is not a particular place where the world should come together, maybe not through the UN, but through some global organization to discuss cooperation on how we can solve the problems that we have? Because man-made or not, I would argue that you're wrong, that man has played a major role in global warming. But even if he hasn't, we still need to come together and fight these environmental problems globally, don't we?
We do have to fight the environmental problems, which are not climate problems. It's one thing if you pollute a stream. It's another thing to say you can control the weather. They're two separate and different things. And I believe that it is important to come together under environmental issues, but not under lies and deceit. And in reality, when you look at, let's say, even America, the people that own property take a lot better care of it than the government. So I am not for big government programs about the environment. I am for educating on the environment. I think that's incredibly important. But when you read, and I would like you to do that NASA, NOAA, the IPCC have all said, oh, we fudge the numbers continually. We do that all the time. We're lying to the people. I don't believe that when they tell you that they're lying, that we should believe them and say they're not lying. And about in February of this past year, Vice President of Climate the Climate Committee of the United Nations, her name is Christina Figueres, said at a meeting in Brussels that the real purpose of the environmental movement is to destroy and bankrupt the West. Period. That's all.
Well,
and
you know,
this is a concerted effort to do that. So
well, but the world leaders did get together, Michael, to your end.
But pay attention to the environment for other reasons.
Well, you know, individuals, I'm all for individual rights and I'm all for capitalism. Okay, but individual property owners are going to take care of property to the extent that it behooves the individual, not the community as a whole. And that's a problem. That's why you have government in the first place. You know, we've seen it time and time again. When we let business run things, they're much more efficient, but they're also much more callous. We had children working for pennies an hour in this country before we had labor unions. We had before there was regulation, businesses did pretty much what they wanted, and they didn't do it for the benefit of society. In fact, it would be very rare to find an instance in which they did do it for the benefit of society. They did it for the benefit of the individual. So government has a role in all this stuff. And I think what I'm hearing from you, Karen, is that government should get out of this.
Government should get out of most things and take care of the things that they are charged to take care of well. The rest of the things should be left to the states because most of the agencies are redundant anyway. And now you think that government was so good, I suggest that we take a look at what's going on in Flint, Michigan, where the mayor of Flint, Michigan decided that to save some money, she would poison the Flint River and give it to the people to drink, telling them, oh, it's okay to drink. So we have corruption.
Again, following your
around.
Own self-interest, though, not the self-interest of the community. And government surely is not perfect.
I agree with you. I'm not disagreeing with you. There is a place for government. There is a place for regulation. And there is a place for business. But what's going on right now is total corruption of all three of those things. And this is where we, the people, have to be cognizant of the fact that the head of the snake, the head of both divisions, the head of both parties, the head of both groups are exactly the same, and they are there for three reasons: money, power, and control.
So is it true, though, Karen, that the Republican National Committee adopted a resolution opposing Agenda 21?
Of course.
So, but you didn't mention that.
And then every Agenda 21 item that came up, they voted for the special interest that wanted the agenda. And I believe that was the same year that they voted to give the money from the Restore Act, the billions of dollars, $20 billion that Obama took from BP for destroying the Gulf because Obama wouldn't let them clean it up, which is another issue. But instead of giving the money to the people who were harmed, who would then turn around and improve their communities, our legislators agreed to give 80% of it to their environmental friends. And so all of those organizations that already had our money got more of our money while the people lost their businesses and their homes. So we have to recognize what we are sitting with, which is why I say everything is a lie. Unfortunately, I look at school because I was a teacher, and this is where the majority of the lies are coming from. And if you want to find out the answer to anything, you have to follow the money. And we did that with Common Core. You mentioned Common Core. And what we discovered is that the book companies stated, and this is coming from the vice president of Huth Mifflin, said that it's not about education and the kids, the textbooks. It's about profit. They don't care what they print, as long as it gets sold. They're not in the business of verifying. They're not in the business of doing, and they don't really care. And then we say, well, who owns that company, and who owns the other major printing companies, and we find out that a large portion of them are owned by Arab sheikhs and families, et cetera, which is one of the reasons why we have the problems that we do in our textbooks.
Well, you know what? The printing industry, actually the printing industry, of which I am an expert, is probably one of the most diverse small businesses left in America. In Washington, we probably have 1,000 print shops that are all independently owned.
Not owned by Arabs.
They're owned by people that live down the street from me.
That's the truth.
And you know, that's the thing. I think the one thing that bothers me, Karen, about your website is you talk about people having to give up their housing to people that are less fortunate, people having to give up their automobiles. They're even socialists at their core, do not say that everybody has to be equal. Karl Marx never said that everybody has to make the same amount of money. He said to each according to their need, from each according to their ability. It seems to me, and excuse me for saying this, but it seems to me that you're putting some stuff out there that really is a red herring.
Hey, Michael, can we let Kathleen comment, please?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. We have a caller. Go ahead. Kathleen, go ahead. You got a question?
Well, I was just going to say that you know how I've always am against the Common Core. And what I think that I was just interested in hearing because, you know, I know Lainey Hamson, who has worked in New York City, and the fact that so much of the testing is geared towards marketing and how these kids will think and how they will possibly buy things. And it's not anything to do about whether or not they know how to learn how to read or write. So, I mean, there is so much in what she is saying I think is very true, and it's just very hard to hear.
That's the worst part, is when you have to hear it. But you're absolutely right. It has nothing to do with their education, and in reality, they don't really want them to learn to read and write, because if they learn to read and write, then they would be thinking, which is not what they want them to do either. They want them to think what they are told to think instead of being innovative and creative and outside the box. When was the last time we heard that statement, think outside the box? Think about that. You don't hear that anymore. We used to hear that all the time.
Well, that's interesting that you say that, because that is something that I've always been, you know, a firm believer with having the public school systems, is that it is putting these kids in a box where there's no creativity, there's no music, there's no art, there's no thinking for yourself. You just become like a minion, and that's your life, and you learn how to live it. And I think that it's terrible, and we as parents have got to really, there's so many things we've got to straighten up and do, but the education system is one of it. So it's hard to hear, but it really is. It is not what we want our kids to be learning. It's just, it's frustrating. It holds them in like almost a chain. So it's great to hear this kind of conversation, and I hope it continues. So thanks a lot, you guys.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Thank you, Kathleen.
And Kathleen, God bless you, because more parents need to understand and look at what their children are reading. That's the key. It's not the Common Core. It's not a standard. It doesn't matter what a standard is. A standard is something like, by the end of the fifth grade, the child will know how to read 10-letter words. That's a standard. But nobody looks at the content of the material. What are they actually reading? And when you look at the content of the material, you find that the large portion of it is anti-American, anti-family, and anti-God. And by God, I mean anti-morality, where anything goes and everything is okay. And then when the kid acts out, they are then turned to the psychologist, who then has to analyze the parent, because it must be the parent's fault. The kid will then wind up in a special class, and then, of course, winding up having to go the outside counseling and go on a regime of drugs. And all of this is precipitated in a, like a circle, because the goal is always the same: money, power, control. Money, power, control.
And you know, but Michael, you and I raised similar generations of children, because the ADD word was never uttered by around one of my children, but it was hanging there in the room like a pregnant pause, and I refused to go there. Finally, when the principal of the school said that she wouldn't, and my kids went to Catholic school, she said she wouldn't re-enroll my son unless I had him analyzed by a psychologist. So we spent 4 days having him get a 28-page report, of which she wanted to see, and we said no, that would not be part of his record. So another psychologist condensed it into 4 pages and said that basically he was just a distraction to himself, but he was still well within the range of normal, thus no Ritalin, which was my major goal. But I had to jump through hoops to make that happen. Is it now not that the case anymore? Everyone defaults, like Karen says, to following lock, stock, and barrel?
Well, no. We had a similar situation. You know, when I was a kid, as you probably remember this time, Maria, they used to call it being a boy. That's
right.
What they used to say about me. He stares out the window. He can't sit still. He's a boy. But we had a similar situation, and this is some place where Karen and I think agree, is that my fear, I don't like the Common Core either, for many of the reasons that Karen has already outlined, but mostly because of the Ritalin thing. I'm sure that Albert Einstein would have been put on Ritalin today.
Yes.
And you don't get what happens to, you know, that's my big problem, is what happens to those out-of-the-box thinkers.
Out-of-the-box thinkers, because everybody is going to be hitting the same computer keys, which is going to be monitoring them and then pushing them in that direction. And if you think out of the box, then you will be out of the box. You won't big. I get letters, emails from people all the time. My child refused to answer that question and was told they couldn't go to the prom. So eventually what happens? The child learns you better answer the questions. So we are raising a group of non-thinking drones who will then fulfill their time, because you see what you realize as a teacher, for example, every child has something that is wonderful to them. And if you find out what that thing is that's wonderful, that child will learn everything. You don't have to call it math and social studies and whatever. If you get that child motivated, they will learn like a little sponge. When you don't allow them to get to that spot, they act out, and they're going to act out in some way. So what are they going to do? Well, we tell them not to do drugs, except that we also tell them don't share needles, so they'll go out and experiment with drugs. And we tell them not to have sex, but now we're showing them how to have sex, so they'll go out and have sex. So instead of doing something constructive, because they want to do something to fulfill that need to succeed, they'll go out and do something bad, because the need to succeed does not say I'm good or I'm bad. It just says I need to succeed.
Well, so we certainly agree is on how the Common Core, in my opinion, kills creativity. But let me ask you, and then I'll give Maria another chance to answer a question, but let me ask you, if it's about money, power, and control, what do we do? It seems to me that the world is run by money, power, and control. So what do we do as individuals, in your opinion, Karen, to change the paradigm?
Well, as far as school is concerned, money is the key. Vote for the right people who will bring the school back locally. Monitor your school boards, go to those meetings, run for school boards, pay attention to what your child is reading, and whenever possible, take them out of school and homeschool. It is now a well-proven fact that children who are homeschooled, and you can form a cooperative with others, because it doesn't say where the child is homeschooled, but it is now a proven fact that homeschooled children are 30% smarter than those in government schools. So on the school part, there's a lot that you can do. You have to watch with the child. If you have to leave them in government schools, then you got to look at what they're reading, demand to see what they see. And when there are errors, correct them. Don't say, oh, the teacher said it's okay or the principal said it's okay. They didn't. They're being paid also. And if they don't do the right thing, they will lose their job. Because part of Common Core got rid of tenure, which was a big issue. So now the teacher's got to toe the line and do what they're told. America was created for we the people, and we have to get back to we the people getting involved. And that's one of the things that I'm enjoying so much about this election, because this is America. This is the way America works, and the way people are getting involved is incredible. So we have to get involved. You can't say, how did this happen? And when people say that, I say, look in the mirror, because we weren't involved. We have the ability to change that now.
Well, when I spoke with Karen this week about her availability, regardless of where one sits on these issues, what I like about what Karen espouses is activism. So if people don't like what's being said, get involved. If you do like what's being said, get involved. But nevertheless, don't sit on your hands, because that's the whole point. Karen's making a difference in her way. We may not agree with her approach, but are we doing what we think should be done, or are we just sitting quietly and having frustration within ourselves? Because my personal adage is one voice, one vote, one paycheck. What we do, how we vote, and where we spend our resources matters.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm glad you said that.
Absolutely.
Because the other day I went to the supermarket and I went over to the fish counter and I looked at the fish counter and I said, where are the fish from America? And the guy said, well, let me get my manager.
God.
And I said, okay. And the manager came back, and he said, can I help you? And I said, yes, where are the fish from America? And he said, well, this time I looked around, and I saw that there were people there. So I raised my voice. Where are the fish from America? So he could hear me. And he said, I'm real sorry, madam, we don't have any. And I said, well, then I can't shop here. As I was leaving, he came out, the manager came out, he met me behind the counter, and he said, I wish more people would do that, because if they would, then we would get fish back from America. We have to be vocal. It only takes one person to do something.
Absolutely. And, you know, we totally, this is someplace where we totally agree, Karen. I live in the nation's capital. We're very politically active. And less than half of our registered voters show up to vote. Less than half of the registered voters, not half of the eligible voters, but half of the people that have already taken the time to register to vote. But one thing I think where we're mixing a little apples and oranges is the concept that this country was founded on we the people. It was founded on the idea of we the people. But you could say the same things that you're saying now. You know, women weren't included. African Americans weren't included. Native Americans weren't included. None of these people were included.
You have to go back and look at the time when that happened. The term we the people and all men being created equal, men was a generic term from that time, and it was for humans. And they weren't leaving out women. They were leaving out the blacks who were slaves, but they weren't leaving out blacks. So we have
How were they not
back.
Leaving
That's
out
why
women when they weren't allowed to vote?
To vote,
and they
right.
were treated
and
with
that was
too.
As
like
slaves.
Property.
That was not blacks. There were blacks who were Northerners who were not slaves.
No, I understand.
That is the problem. And the three-fifths clause, it had to do with the fact that the people in the South wanted to count the blacks, their slaves, as property. And the founders said, wait a minute, if we let them do this, then we will never get rid of slavery. We can't let them count them as people for population and as property for slavery. So they created the three-fifths clause, saying they could count the population as three-fifths, knowing that in a progression, the three-fifths would eventually diminish into nothing. And
I could tell you that you have a hard argument with a guy from Washington, D.C., who does not have the right to vote and does not have a voice in his own government, was taken away by the founding fathers.
We the people that have to do something about it.
Taken away by the founding fathers that this country was founded on, we the people. But, you know, that's what makes the world go round, that we have differences of opinion. But they were not inclusive. And the country has become more inclusive. But you're absolutely right that we need to be involved. I absolutely agree.
And that, to me, is, I think, the takeaway from our discussion today,
yes,
is that we all matter, each one of us. And no matter how you feel, if you don't put your actions behind your passions, then it's for naught. Because what's the point?
That's exactly right.
In fact, you shouldn't even be involved in the conversation if you don't participate somehow.
Well, we're out of time, but I want to thank you, Karen, for coming on. And I want to give you the opportunity one more time to give people your website. And then we'll see you next week. What's your website, Karen?
Please go to agenda21today.com, KarenShone.com, and AmericaIsMyName.org. America is My Name has the American history. Karen Schoen are my articles and opinions, and Agenda 21 is the driving force behind what we are experiencing.
Perfect.
Karen Schoen, thank you so much for being on our show. Maria Sanchez, thank you for having my back, as you do every week. And America, we'll see you next week.
Give the people their right to vote. Give the people their right to vote. Give the people their right to vote. Give the people their right to vote.